For the next 10 minutes or so, I want to look at Psalm 16. The theme that I have in this psalm comes from verse 5, the first few words, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup." Whether it's I chose God or He chose me, He is my chosen portion. This is in contrast to verse 4, "Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows." So you've got two choices here. I choose the true God, other people choose a false God, and they multiply their sorrows. Gay and I, we used to say when we lived in Thailand, these people pay a high price for their Buddhism. When you see the suffering, the fights, the society and the unhappiness in families, the structures of government and society, and you know that there's a way out of all of this if people would turn to God. But they won't turn to God. They choose another God. And it seems that all they do is multiply their sorrows. They pay a high price for it. And the same applies here in Australia. People choose another God. All they do is multiply their sorrows. God's way is best. And to choose an alternative is to choose the way of disaster. So that's my theme. The Lord is my chosen portion. Now, of course, there is a sense in which He chose us. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." He said that to His followers, His disciples, because He chose them as His 12. And we get other statements in the New Testament about chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. We ought never to lose sight of the fact that God, in His grace, in His sovereignty, has chosen us. But there is a sense in which we choose Him. In other words, we choose Him rather than another God. Or we exercise that responsibility as He has entrusted to us to decide that we will repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, yes, we are choosing Him. As we read through this psalm, we'll find that those who choose Him, it is a psalm of David, you'll notice, those who choose Him come into a life of blessing. Now, of course, there are difficulties. Although this psalm is positive and optimistic and joyful, it's written by David. If you read back a few psalms earlier, you find that David is well aware that not everything goes according to plan. He said that people utter lies to their neighbour. With flattering lips they have double speak. The faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. The wicked have lips that speak evil. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? On every side I see wicked men prowling around as vileness is exalted among the sons of men. And you've got lots and lots of sayings like that. So David is not unaware of the evils of the world in which we live. But he is aware that when we choose God, we choose the only life that is really worth having. The word he has used here is, "The Lord is my portion," or in some Bibles it will say, "The Lord is my lot." Other times he uses the expression blessing. It's an interesting expression, because I used to just mouth some glib sayings about, well, we're very blessed by God to live in this country and have all of these wonderful blessings around us. But I'm more careful these days about using that sort of expression. Because when I go to some other countries, I see people that seem to know a lot more of the blessing of God than I know, yet they don't have these material things. And I've come to think that too often we measure God's blessing by our material benefits. And I think that is a very inadequate way to measure God's blessings. It's not that we're more blessed than others. I don't know what expression to use. I would probably say we're just lucky. Now, of course, you can't say this. In some places you say that from the platform, they throw you out of the church. You're not allowed to say Christians are lucky. I mentioned this one day to a lady. She said, "But I shouldn't you really use the word lucky. Let us say we're fortunate." And I said, "It's exactly the same thing. We're lucky, we're fortunate. Use whatever expression you like." The biblical writers use the word lot, L-O-T, or portion. That's just the way it fell out. That's how the cookie crumbles is an expression we use. And we just happen to be here in this country. But far more of God's people are not in circumstances like this. many of them are in very, very difficult circumstances. And in those circumstances, they are still praising the Lord. They are still saying, I've got so much to be thankful for. I could tell you some stories that bring a lump in my throat if I tried to tell you, where people in awful situations have said, oh, we've just got so much to be thankful for. We have to think again about how we measure this blessing of God, so to speak. I've got a quote here from Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14. I'll just read it to you, don't turn to it. He says this, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. You've got it? He makes one as well as the other. Sometimes it's a day of prosperity, sometimes it's a day of adversity. But God has made one as well as the other. And we have to learn to accept our lot, for better or for worse. The trouble with us is, as soon as anything goes wrong, we complain. That seems to be the way in much of the Western world. We have bred a race of complaining Christians. If anything goes wrong, they complain about God. Not everybody, of course, but a lot of people do. They become bitter, and some just give away the church. They just leave the church and say, God has not been fair. God has done this, God has done that. When I travel through many of these other countries, I see people who are going through enormous difficulties. I very rarely hear people complain. They're not bitter against God. They trust God. And in the day of adversity, they consider. If it's the day of prosperity, they will rejoice. But they realize, as you and I have got to realize, that God sends us one as well as the other. And so that's why the psalmist here, I'll have to read this very quickly, I've only got a few minutes here. Let's just go through it. Psalm 16, he asks God to preserve him because he takes refuge in him. And he says in verse 2, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. Wonderful, isn't it? Some of the older versions, King James is a bit obscure in the second half of that verse, but I think that's the meaning here, RSV I'm reading from. You are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. That's something the non-Christian can't understand. They think Christianity is dull and negative and restrictive. Well, of course there are restrictions, there are disciplines, but it's also so rewarding because of this joy that we have in God. I have no good apart from you. You are my chosen lot, you are my portion. As for the saints in verse 3, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. So the man not only delights in God, he delights also in God's people. That's where his friends are. And then that verse that I read, those who choose another God, all they do is multiply sorrows. So that's the alternative. You choose God and find your joy and delight in him and in his people, or you choose the alternative and multiply sorrows for yourself. What you sow, you reap. You sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. God's way is best. And so it goes on in verse 4. Verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. There it is again. You hold my lot in your hand. You hold my portion. And to have God determining our lives according to his will is the best thing imaginable. It's better than a rich banquet, larger than any earthly inheritance, better than any of the top real estate that you can get for yourselves. Just to accept that my lot is in his hands, and whatever way it falls out, I'm going to accept that as being from him. And if I can have that attitude, in the day of prosperity rejoice, in the day of adversity consider, realize the Lord has made one as well as the other, I will have a tranquility and a peace in my life that will enable me to get through. And that is one of the things that I've learnt from many of these countries that I've gone to. These people have just taught me so much. My life has been enriched. I'm very much in debt to my friends in countries around the world, most of which are in great difficulties. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places, it says here in verse 6, I have a goodly heritage. God has given me a good life. Yes, that's what David says. God's given me a good life. But he had his troubles, didn't he? You know the troubles David had. Some of them he inflicted upon himself because of his misbehaviors, but others he was the victim of vindictiveness and spite and hatred of other people. And yet here is a man who can accept it all and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. The lines again a reference to the lot, the measurement, the allocation, the portion. What are some of the characteristics then of this good life? Very briefly, just in these final few verses, verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. So that's the first thing, he gives us counsel. When we accept our lot is from him, and the Lord is our heritage, we find we have guidance, we have wisdom. It's so much different from what the world has. All these psychologists and the counselors and the talkback radio gurus and the superstitions and the new age. People are looking for this or that or something else to take the tension out of life, to give them some guidance which way they should go. But when we have this relationship with the Lord, he gives us counsel, and in the night also my heart instructs me. Secondly, because I keep the Lord before me, this is verse 8, I shall not be moved. He gives stability. There's a security, a stability in our lives. Instead of being thrown by everything, instead of being in turmoil, instead of being easily disturbed, there is a security, a sense of well-being, a sense of confidence, a sense of stability that those who don't know God know nothing about. The third thing in verse 9, my heart is glad. I'm giving you joy, says God. I'm giving you peace. We just talked about the peace, and nobody will take that peace from you. He said, I'm giving you joy, and nobody will take that joy from you. I'm quoting here from memory from John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. And my joy in you shall be full. Yes, we have gladness. My soul rejoices. My body also is secure. Through life, through death, whatever. You don't give my soul up to Sheol. Death is not the end. Death holds no terrors, he said. That is not the end. I can look beyond that to the final verse, fellowship with God here and in the age to come. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so even these people in Old Testament times who didn't have as clear a view of the future as we have, because Christ had not come and died and rose again and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, that had not yet happened. Their understanding of the resurrection was not as clear as ours. But this man has at least this understanding, that you commit yourself to God now, you not only find that he is in control and brings you these blessings of guidance and stability and peace and joy that I've spoken of, but they last on. They are indefinite. They last on into the future, and they will never be extinguished. And all of the present is but a preparation for that ongoing life that is lived in the presence of God. Our faith is something we hold in relation to God. It is a personal faith between us and the Lord. It is something that brings us these benefits that I've talked about. It is something that is practical, as we've just seen, in helping us through life. It is satisfying in that we have no good apart from him. He is the one who satisfies all our needs. It is lasting because it goes in to the life to come. Those who choose another God, all they do is multiply their sorrows. Those who choose the Lord find that he is their chosen portion now. He is their cup. He holds their lot. He has given them a goodly heritage now and in the future. In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore.